The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouye. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Mouye, and we are about 2 weeks away from officially college football and the NFL will officially ring that gauntlet to start off with their official trip to the Super Bowl. But at the same time, we're saying goodbye to the Olympic Games. And what a fantastic Olympic Games. If you were there in London and you were reporting back to Sports Maverick, you had an opportunity to sit at some of the venues and to see the magic of social media. In other words, the major sponsors were there, but they did not get a chance to get into the nook and crannies of London and really be known. I mean, we had for our show almost close to 1.2 million in tweets, and we also had just emails alone, 500,000. So we're so excited to basically say goodbye to the Olympics and thank you, London, for such a great, great opportunity for the Sports Maverick Show. Now, folks, as we begin to get into the football season again, there is something brewing right now, and it is in golf. And golf, as you very well know, has been one of those quiet sports for a long time. People looked at it as an elite sport. And then, of course, when it went from amateur to professional, that changed a lot. And also, the rules changed a lot as well. So a lot of people believe that those three things really kept golf out of the Olympics in 2008. But here's the good news. The Olympic Games will return with golf in 2016. That is official, folks, and it came out in a July communication. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're going to discuss that today because we believe that it is the backdrop of the real reason why Augusta National has basically showed their hand on Monday to admit their first two female members to the club. And we're going to get in that with our special guest, which is Mr. Edward S. His name is Juan Nawa, and he's the senior editor of Afro-American Golf Digest. And I want to welcome him to the show. Welcome to the show, Mr. Edward Wanama. How are you today?
I am great today. I'm absolutely thrilled to be on the program.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I think one of the things that people do is that they say golf, they think Tiger. And, of course, Tigers had a lot of issues, and so, therefore, a lot of people who used to watch because of Tigers are not watching. I mean, it's almost like everybody likes a winner. But, we know, Tiger did so much for the game to really, really basically increase the marketing, increase the salaries of the PGA officials, as well as the salaries of the actual purses of other golfers, competitors. But now again, we're looking at golf in a different vein now. We're looking at golf through the eyes of the Olympic Committee. And I wonder, when you heard that announcement that golf is going to return back to the Olympics in 2016, what did that mean to you?
Well, what it meant to me is that golf is now truly stepped into a new era in becoming a global game. You know, the fact that there's so many, even on the PGA Tour, there's so many players from so many different parts of the world, that now that golf is in 2016 in Rio is going to be an official Olympic sport, I do believe that golf now is stepping into a much global format.
Now, if that is the case, and you know the Olympics, they have gone from being basically, they look at individuals versus teams. and they're looking at the individual aspects of individuals. So what was interesting is that when golf was trying to get admitted in 2012 Olympics, there was some discussion about Augusta's ban against female members. And a lot of people believe that the reason why golf was not played in 2012 was because of that policy. Now, is playing golf synonymous with wearing a green jacket?
No. I don't think so. I think Augusta National is one of many clubs that does not allow female members. So probably they might have been part of the conversation because they're the most notable, the most powerful golf club probably in the game. But, I think that the run-of-the-mill fringe golf fan probably would, you know, relate golf with Augusta because it is the Masters.
Okay. Now let's talk about the relationship between the PGA and Augusta. It is the fourth tournament that it has, and it is obviously, what is the relationship? Because unlike other tournaments, Augusta is kind of an independent kind of animal, isn't it?
Yes, Augusta National is the only major of the four major tournaments, the PGA Championship, the British Open or the Open Championship, and the PGA Championship being the other three, that does not change venues. There is no rotation. So, in other words, Augusta National is going to be the host club for the Masters every year. It's going to always be the first week in April. And there are certain little nuances about Augusta National and the Masters that make it different. So, yes, it is its own independent animal. You're absolutely correct.
Okay. Now, let's look at the opportunity if Augusta had not changed their position. Is it possible that the PGA could have picked another venue just as grand?
No, I don't think so. I think that the Masters is the Masters. I think, you know, we can't, in one hand, say that they're an independent venue, I mean, independent animal, and they do things the wrong way, and then turn right around and say that they're dispensable, that you can just sit back and replace the Masters with another major. Being, you know, and I'm a little biased because I am in the golf industry, I don't think you could replace Augusta National with another tournament.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's just juxtapose that that came down to an issue because if, just think about this, is it possible that Augusta could have been the biggest issue of why golf has not been played in the Olympics?
I mean, it's a very interesting point you bring up. I have never made that connection, actually.
I want to walk you through a little few things here.
Okay, sure.
The history of this is very interesting because when we go back to where golf was excluded in 2008, the issue of females not playing Augusta did not come up. The issue was that it was an elite game, elite sports, it was amateurs to professionals, and they weren't sure about the format that they should use.
Absolutely.
It was never an issue about females. So that issue didn't come out. But it did, again, raise its head in the bid for the 2012 Olympics. And the biggest proponent against golf going into the Olympics was social media. And I want to talk a little bit about that. You know a lot about computers, because you've obviously, from what I can see, that you've been, you know, a student of that.
Yes.
How important is social media to brand today?
I think it's indispensable. I mean, any major brand, regardless of whether it's golf or, you know, sports or business, has to have some sort of social media presence. And it has to be effective, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter. whatever it is, there has to be a presence in order for that company to reach a much broader customer base.
Now, pretending that it doesn't play a substantial part in sustaining cultural importance of the masters possibly could have cost golf a place in Olympic history, is what is was the words that were said at this conference. And so this has been debated now, because, you know, Olympics are every 4 years. So that means that discussion has been taking place since 2008 about whether or not Augusta needed to change. Now, talk about the changing of the guards in Augusta. Where, what have you seen happen there in terms of the culture? Because we know that, you know, there's certain traditions they had until, of course, they did actually admit a Afro-American, well, I'm going to say a minority, to Augusta. And then there, of course, is a new tradition, is that they've now admitted two women to Augusta. And I've already have put it on their website and already put it in their, all of their information is going out. So this is a glorious day for golf right now that Augusta has made this change. But when we talk about membership, we're only talking about $10,000 to $30,000 in annual dues.
Yes.
That's all we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else but that. So that's not uncommon to any golf course, to $10,000 to $30,000. So there is a need for a philosophy change if this is taking place. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I mean, Augusta National has always been different in that way. I mean, I know of golf clubs here in Atlanta where I live where golf membership is upwards of six figures in order for you to be a member of certain golf clubs in this city and even around the country. Augusta National, again, has always been different in the fact that it's not about initiation fees. It's not about monthly dues. It's about the prestige of being a member and donning that green jacket. That's where the real prestige comes in. So they've never really been concerned about how much it, you know, how much the membership fee is. That doesn't really play a big part in the Augusta culture.
Yeah, so really, when we go back and look at the culture, the decision actually not to admit women dates back to 1930.
Yes.
Well, and that's, of course, when Bobby Jones was involved. And the 30s was the real turning point of this decision. Because I just want to go back, you know, it's very interesting when you go to Augusta National's website, they say that they were a fruit industry. But the original property was the Indigo Plantation, owned by Dennis Redman, slave owner. And if you go fast forward, that property was bought by Bobby Jones for $70,000. And it took $50,000 in 1938 to do the remodeling to create the clubhouse. Well, we know in 1930, women suffrage was still in existence.
Yes.
So therefore, that same concept that was there in 1930 continued to carry on. Now, again, the prestige of it really didn't come until 1954. That's when they built the champion rooms and all those great things. So this was basically a, quote-unquote, systemic culture that just happened to be generation by generation by generation. So now, Chairman Billy Payne becomes, of course, in charge. He comes from a different era, but of course, he's not willing to discuss membership. He leaves that for another day, and of course, he has spoken on Monday. Now, again, we're going to talk about who has been vindicated, what does this mean, and was it pressure from social media, The fact that there is a new sheriff in charge, which is the actual chairman of IBM, that's a female, and is it the economic situation in America right now that is driving this issue? We'll be back in three, and we're going to discuss those issues. Again, this is Ida Moyer, and we're talking about Augusta National opening their club to two women on Monday. It's a grand occasion.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know, talk is cheap.
Your internet flagship station for sports. Voice America Sports. In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and we are talking with Edward Wanamwa. He is the editor, senior editor of the Afro-American Golfers Digest, and he also is a household word on ESPN, and you will see write-ups about him all over the country. He's becoming one of the phenomenons in golf as a golf writer right now. And we want to welcome Mr. Wanamwa back to the show. Back to the show, Edward. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for being so courteous. I really appreciate that.
We're talking about golf's re-entry into the Olympics in 2016. And we're talking about the fact that today golf has become so vital, now in terms of global economy, that 2016 Olympics is going to be vital to golf's growth. And countries without strong golfing traditions are suddenly pouring money into player development. Now the question we come is, will winning a gold medal ever mean as much as claiming a green jacket? And our guest here we were talking to were discussing clearly that this is such a prestige thing in order for a person to actually win that gold that actual green jacket. But what this issue here is that the history of Augusta not admitting women until Monday, which is the 20th of August, it was announced that two women will be admitted to Augusta as members. Now, what does that mean? Let's talk a little bit about it. And 2002 to 2003, there was a running disagreement between William Hootie Johnson, then chairman of Augusta National Golf Club, over the admissions of female members to Augusta National. Now, Burke contended that hosting the Master Tournament at a male-only club constituted actually sexism, because 15% of the club membership were CEOs, many of them of Fortune 500 companies. Now, Johnson characterized Burke's approach as pretty offensive and coercive, and really despite it, to talk about that, and said that they were a private club and they could do whatever they wanted to do. But what changed that? We've got a new sheriff in town. Female and minority CEOs have replaced the actual landscape of America. The fact that the golf has been excluded from the Olympics since 1902 and a strong campaign by Arnold Palmer and Anna Sorensen actually got golf admitted to the Olympics in 2016. So now these policies that are actually at Augusta, no female, was cited by the Olympic Committee. So perhaps a threat of the PGA to pull Augusta as the fourth tournament may have come into play. We have no evidence to that. But we want to key in on the social media, because long after Martha was gone from now, the National Association of Women, the social media continued to talk about the issue. They continued to talk about it. They kept it at the forefront of everything. And so as a result of that, we have to visit the culture that actually created this. Now, Augusta National is located in Augusta, Georgia. It's a favorite famous golf course. It was founded by Bobby Jones and Clifford Roberts. It was designed by Alistair McKenzie on the site of the former Indigo Plantation. The club opened for play in January 1933. And in 1934, it played host to the annual Master Tournament, one of the four major championships in professional golf, and the only major played each year at the same course. That's key, because that means that if, in fact, that we would see a stand down on Augusta against the Olympic Committee policies, perhaps maybe still it would provide an opportunity for another golf course to come in. We have some outstanding golf courses, several of them that have been designed by Arnold Palmer, that possibly could have come in, or either Jack Nicklaus that could have come in, and even Tiger Woods that could have come in to replace Augusta. But the long history is almost irreplaceable to golfers. But it's interesting that the choices of the women were Condoleezza Rice and Darla Moore. Now, Condoleezza Rice was actually mentioned 5 years ago as a potential first woman to be admitted to Augusta. And then that was later tabled. But what does this mean to golf today, which has been basically considered as an elite sport? Does it really mean that now golf is on a free will to grow? Does it mean now that people will be more inclusive? Well, a couple of the ideas that came forth in a wonderful video that was put together by several of the great golfers is said that golf is everywhere in the world. The growth is tremendous. We're seeing it in China and Russia. Golf needs to become a melting pot. Golf also could lead to fitness instructions. It could lead to greater awareness of golf. Actually, its stature would also improve. And to some of the golfers, this is a dream come true, to be able to play in the Olympics and to be able to do that with their countrymen. So the whole idea of international exposure to kids to play golf possibly could have taken precedence over the green jacket. And that's what we're talking about today in that regard. Now, our guest, Edward Wanawa, I want to check and see if he's still with us. Are you still with us, Edward?
Yes, I am.
I am so sorry. I thought we missed you. Let's date back to, we're going to go back to the Firestone 10 years ago. And, you know, one of the things that were very curious to me is the fact that they were able for 2 years to go without sponsors.
Yes.
That was incredible because that's the love of golf coming through.
Well, that's not just the love of golf. That's the power and prestige and the amount of money that Augusta makes, Augusta National and the Masters makes off of that tournament and their membership, that they're able to fund a tournament of that magnitude without having any corporate sponsorship. I really doubt that there's any other tournament in the world that will be able to do that.
So if that is the case, then why would it not be significant in terms of the image of golf in the Olympics? Do you think that's why it was brought into the committee's discussion, because of the place and history that it has and the power that it carries and the images that is projected, you know, to children and future golfers? Do you think that might have had something on a social basis?
Maybe. I mean, like I said earlier in the program, I haven't seen a correlation between Augusta National having any influence on what the Olympic Committee thought about golf. I think that those were two separate issues. I think the fact that the Olympic Committee wanted golf to have a more global image. You know, if you're going to come into the Olympics, then it needs to be every player that's playing out on the European, Asian, and the U.S. tour being able to represent their country on an individual basis. And as you mentioned earlier, what is the format going to be? Is it going to be a U.S. team versus a European team, sort of like the Ryder Cup format? Or is it going to be, you know, Swedish golfers playing match play against American golfers and golfers from England and Northern Ireland and other places in the world? You know, I don't know how much of Augusta National's culture or the way that they do things had influence on what the Olympic Committee decided on whether to have golf or not as part of the Olympics.
Well, this is actually the quote from the committee report. The controversy was discussed by the International Olympic Committee when reexamining whether golf meets Olympic criteria of a sport practiced without discrimination, with a spirit of friendship, solidarity, and fair play.
Well, you know, there's the LPGA tour. I mean, golf does not exclude women from competing. I mean, you have the European tour. I mean, the LPGA tour. You have the you have several tours that allow women to compete. You spoke about Annika Sorensen earlier, and there are a lot of women. There's a long history of women competing in the game of golf. So I think the game itself does open itself up. I mean, Augusta National itself is a totally different issue.
Well, again, I mean, if we're talking about this prestige and we're talking about the level of awareness that the Master has around the world, because when the Master is played, the eyes of the world is on Augusta, no question about it.
No question.
So that the underpinning of this, obviously, you know, was like a hush-hush kind of thing, because women could only play as a guest at Augusta.
Yes.
And that was the status. They could play at Augusta, but as a guest until, of course, Monday. But the fact is that golf was previously included as Olympic sport, you know, once in 1900 and one in 1904, but the sport's popularity has grown so much in the last 10 to 15 years that obviously reinstating the game in the Olympics is unbelievable.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I'm so excited for 2016 in Rio. to actually see golf as an Olympic sport. I'm very excited to see what that's going to be like.
You know, so let's go back to the fact that now the you talk about the dollars, the financials of the Masters. Where do the dollars come from?
Well, the dollars come from TV revenue. Naturally, you know, the long-term relationship with CBS and now with ESPN. You know, the dollars come from the merchandise. The dollars come from the members within the club themselves. I mean, that's where the money comes from at Augusta National. You know, and it's a lot of money.
Now, the membership, I understand, is a limited number.
Yes, they never disclose exactly how many members they have or how many are dropped from the roll and how many are added, but it's a very limited membership. I think the figure that goes around that I've heard is something about 200 or so members at Augusta National that are actually members on a continual basis.
So the membership isn't huge at all.
No, it's not.
Really isn't. Actually, a lot of people believe that the membership is somewhere around about 300 members.
Yes, that's somewhere around that number.
About 300 members. So it's not a huge membership. The membership fee isn't very big at all. So really and truly, it really comes down to a shift possibly in culture. This might be like any business that, now, again, let's go back to looking at the dollar revenue, okay? All those dollar revenues that you talked about is basically generated by brand.
Yes.
So let's just juxtapose that Augusta did not accept women. Would it affect their brand?
Would they take their...
In other words, I'm saying, what if, in fact, that Augusta never accepted women? Would it ever affect their brand? Did you ever see any reason that their brand would be affected?
No, it hasn't been affected up until this point very much. I mean, Martha Burke, the quote-unquote firestorm with Martha Burke back in 2002, 2003, I believe that part of it was mostly the fact that Hootie Johnson brought it to the forefront. You know, Martha Burke sent her letter, as you remember, to Hootie Johnson, and Hootie Johnson came out in a press conference and said, we're not going to be, you know, forced to have, you know, women members here, our membership policies changed at a point of a bayonet. Now, if you really think about it, if we're looking at it, if Hootie Johnson tears that letter up and throws it in the trash and never says anything about it, you know, how much traction does Martha Burke really have? You know, if Hootie doesn't make it an issue, then it doesn't become an issue. You know, and even when she put in her petition to protest directly across the front gate of Augusta National on Washington Road, she was denied. And she was sent down the road about 2.5 miles to an empty dirt lot where she could protest, which got very little media coverage, and it sort of fizzled away. You know, and Augusta just simply said, we're going to take any pressure off of our big sponsors by not just having them not advertise this year. And they successfully, whether we like it or not, I wasn't a huge fan of that, but whether we like it or not, they were able to just sort of quell that whole issue for the meantime until Virginia Ramadi became the CEO of IBM. Earlier this year.
Now, what does that mean now? Because we're looking at aging sponsorships. We're looking at losing CEOs from Ford Motor Company, CEOs from Coors, CEO from Bank of America, CEO from American Express, CEO from General Electric. These are huge Fortune 500. That's over 6 former CEOs that have been replaced by younger and more progressive thinkers.
Yes, I mean, but however, regardless of whether the CEO of IBM is a male or female, IBM is very unlikely to pull their sponsorship from Augusta National. And in a point, you know, even after our conversation earlier today that I thought about, Billy Painter and Augusta National very skillfully handled this situation. Again, whether you like it or not, what they did by admitting Condoleezza Rice and Darla Moore is that they set a precedent. They sat back and said, okay, Augusta National has admitted female members. They did not admit the CEO of IBM, nor have they set a timetable when they're going to admit her or if they're going to admit her. So, and I think that if they would have admitted her first, it would have really come across as if they were being pressured to. But what they did today is they did Monday, is that they quelled that. They sat back and said, okay, Condoleezza Rice, who has her achievements in her own right, Darla Moore, who has her own achievements, and what we've done now is we admitted two female members, so now no one can sit back and say that we haven't done that, but yet IBM, one of their biggest sponsors, their CEO is a woman, is still not a member, and there is no timetable for her to become one. So as much as things have changed, things in some ways have pretty much stayed the same.
Well, I want to take you to two social media firestones that we've seen in the last year or so. Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Yes.
Came out and banned it proceeds to the Planned Parenthood, and it was reversed because of the social media. They had almost close to around about 15 million tweets within like 10 hours on that, and people pulling dollars out because of that. Number two, Russ Limbaugh, you know, lost sponsors with the Georgetown University law student debacle, when he talked about the law students, in terms of her, Sandra Fluke, maybe last all many of the shock jocks, you know, when he went through that. That is also one of the things. And in fact, Sandra Fluke will be speaking at the Republican Party, convention this year. Okay. Yes. I wanted you to look at what's brewing here. What's brewing here is battle lines are being drawn. That's my opinion. Because number one is because you've got this being not a campaign issue anymore. So when Obama mentioned about Augusta National's policies, that has gone by the wayside. So it's no longer a quote-unquote race issue anymore. It's no longer a female issue. And I want to give Billy Payne some credit here. He is a architect. Okay, he's definitely an architect. And he's an architect of change. And he's done that in the private equity industry. But also, remember, he carefully selected Darla Moore, who really, one way or the other, doesn't need Augusta National. She is very rich and powerful in her own right.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, but Darla Moore is already in the Augusta National culture. I mean, the business school at the University of South Carolina is named after her.
Exactly.
That's something that Hootie Johnson had a hand in, who used to be the former, as you stated earlier, used to be the former chairman. So Darla is already in the Augusta National culture.
So she's a very safe choice, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a very safe.
She's a very safe choice because Darla basically would care. I mean, she's excited about this, but Darla basically is in her own right, has her own green jacket, okay? For sake of words, Condoleezza Rice also in her own right has her own green jacket. So I think that is setting a standard for the type of women that will be admitted, if there will be any more women admitted. I mean, that is kind of setting the standard. We'll come back and talk about that in the next 3 minutes here, because I want to continue this discussion. You know, it's great to talk to our guest here because he's a golfer and he loves the world, and I am a person looking in the outside and trying to get to the issue. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moyer, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, speak up.
Speak up
or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America's.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. And if you've been with me most of this last half an hour, I've been talking to a very, very special guest. He is a sports writer, sports editor, senior editor for the Afro-American Golfers Digest. But he's also been on ESPN, and he's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, and he is one of the new faces of golf writers out there. His name is Edward Wanawa. I want to welcome Edward back to the show. Welcome back to the show, Edward.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you know, we were talking at the break about how culture is changing possibly at, you know, Augusta National, but I think what we're looking at is that, you know, the whole subject or the issue of women at Augusta had basically vanished, you know, until recently, and it came back because the CEO of IBM customarily is made a member at Augusta.
Yes.
And the CEO of IBM is currently a woman.
Yes,
and there's actually a possibility that it wouldn't induct her. So facing a boycott from PGA Tours, this might have been one of the reasons why we're seeing this. This is good. So I think that the battle lines are drawn with Condoleezza Rice coming in as a staunch Republican and Dahlia Moore being a very good friend of Mr. Payne and have dealt with him in the past to be safe guesses that they are the type of women that they want to admit to Masters, but the battle lines are drawn in terms of how they're going to fight this battle. And so the idea becomes is that what impact is it going to be if the CEO of IBM is not admitted?
I don't think he's going to have, I think what Augusta National, as I said earlier in the program, I think that what Billy Payne and Augusta National did is they set the tone that they're going to admit her or not going to admit her according to their timetable. And that's exactly what they did. you know, they admitted two women, two very deserving women. They, you know, in Condoleezza Rice and Bella Moore. But what if they decide not to admit Virginia Romati for the next 5 years? It's up to them.
Well, what about the potential for boycotts from the PGA Tour?
I doubt that. The PGA Tour needs the Masters more than the Masters needs the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour is not going to drop the Masters as a major. It's not going to happen. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's my opinion.
To that relationship, because you're making a very important point. Because PGA relationship with the club is, since the Masters is not a PGA Tour sponsored event, membership policy of Augusta National is none of their business.
It's none of their business. I mean, if Augusta National were just to tell the PGA Tour, we don't want to be on your tour anymore, then they don't have to be. So the PGA, in my opinion, the PGA Tour has zero leverage with Augusta National.
But let's talk about master performance counting towards ranking in FedEx Cup, which is the PGA Tour official championship, and the Masters is official money event of the PGA Tour, and it currently occupies, as they say, the best real estate on the tour's website.
Yes, it does.
So we know that they definitely, they need each other, don't they?
Yes, and again, I think they need each other, but I think the tour needs the Masters more than the Masters needs the tour.
So let's just talk about the boycotts. Calling on players to boycott is probably not going to happen.
No, I would venture to say that any PGA Tour player that's worth his salt wants to don a green jacket. And the opportunity just to go and play at Augusta National with the opportunity to get your name etched onto that trophy and become a green jacket winner and be a winner and be a green Masters champion for the rest of your life trumps anything. So I doubt if you're going to have any players that will sit back and say, I'm going to boycott the Masters because they don't have female members. And I think if you ask them, which I think was asked in the past when the Martha Burke incident came up, a lot of tour players just deferred. They wouldn't even answer that question.
Okay. So now I bring you to fast forward. When Martha Burke was protesting, that was in 2002, 2003.
Yes.
And the Internet wasn't as powerful. There was nothing called the Facebook, nothing called the Twitter, as they call it, nothing called the YouTube. Okay. And I want to bring you to the Olympics this year. One of the biggest non-sponsors became the biggest sponsor because of social media, and that was Nike. They were not an official sponsor, but because of their policies and their treatment of women, men, and others, that was one of the biggest things that made them such a great hit at the Olympics. Now, I want to go and look at the time slots around major sporting events. And they're essential for maintaining a position as a household name. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But social media has leveled the playing field.
Now, social media has had an enormous impact in that arena.
So talk about the fact that if Augusta lost their actual sponsorships, we know that that would not hurt them. It did not hurt them, although we know that those same CEOs that probably supported them are no longer chairmen of the board anymore. So there's a whole new American culture. We're in economic times right now where golf has also experienced a downturn, particularly with Tiger and his problems. That has caused a major, because Tiger was like a $20 billion marketing machine for golf. So they've experienced that. And at the same time, if you're going to look at the biggest corporate of golf, you're going to look at Augusta National because of the Masters. So
yes,
I think that the lines are drawn on the actual issues, and I believe that the culmination of the changing with Billy Payne coming in, although he's been there, you know, for several years, the actual changing of the guards in the CEOs of typical corporate sponsors, the place that America has right now in the Gulf world because of the masters, and that the whole issue around women in, you know, being admitted to Augusta National a month after the Olympics announced that they're going to allow golf back to 2016 tells me that there is a movement afoot here to improve the situation. So, again, that's my opinion. Tell me what you think about that, because I look at the timing on that announcement. And incidentally, it was the same day that Phyllis Diller actually passed away. And she made a joke years ago that said when Martha Burt was actually protesting that she wanted her remains to be placed on the grounds of Augusta National. So I hope her spirit is not there on Augusta National. No. I want to make that joke, right? It's not a joke, but it's not very tasteful either, but I thought I'd let you know that she made that joke. It's ironic, you know, we talk about timing, right?
This
is important because we're talking about how, I mean, you're talking about platforms like Facebook, which is actually become so big that it's replacing search engines like Yahoo and Google, and you've got YouTube. And this is completely changing the way brands are being leveraged now.
Yes, I mean, I just think there was a wonderful article written by Yahoo golf writer, a friend of mine, Dan Wetzel, who wrote an article entitled, As Much As Things Change, Things Stay the Same. You know, I just think Augusta National, again, played it very skillfully. They played their cards right. They admitted two impeccable women that were extremely well vetted. I've seen Condoleezza Rice at Augusta National the last few years I've been there. I've also seen Darla Moore there. And I think that they were very well vetted. And what they did is they diffused the issue to a certain extent. You know, they can be quote unquote outside, and you know, I would reluctantly use the word pressure when it comes to Augusta National, because I think it's hard to put pressure on a club that's 100% privately funded. I mean, where are you going to put pressure on them at? You know, if you sit back and say,
we've seen this over and over again, that private clubs have had to go and open. We've seen that. We've seen it in terms of men-only clubs, fraternities. We've seen it. We know that it does happen. And so golf, of course, I don't think is any different, because we've actually seen it in other clubs as well. We saw it in tennis, how tennis had to be opened up. So, and again, the fact that they actually did admit it wasn't an Afro-American, it was a South African that they admitted. So we've seen various different things really change, but nothing stays the same.
But see, I think what gets lost in this discussion as well is, what about the other clubs in America that don't host the Masters, that don't have female members? I mean, you have
just
Cypress
Point. Just on the truth, because that's where I think the development's going to go to next.
Yeah, you have Pine Valley, you have Cypress Point, you have several other golf clubs around the country that don't admit female members, but they just don't happen to host a tournament on the magnitude of the Masters. You know, granted, yes, I do feel that there was a push that Augusta National was going to have to address the issue at one point or the other, but in typical Augusta National style, they did it the way they wanted to do it, according to their time frame and according to the way they wanted to do it. And they did not, and I repeat, they did not extend an invitation to the CEO of IBM, and they have not set a timetable on if and when they're going to do that. So,
well,
I mean,
What does that mean? That means unresolved issues.
The thing that means is that Augusta National is still status quo to a certain extent. They're not going to be pushed to make the CEO of IBM a member, or they would have done it by now.
I think you might have a point here, and like I said, I believe that they draw a line in the sand in terms of how they will be moved. But I just want to make it notable that some of the notable current members are Warren Buffett.
Yes.
Peter Coors. Bill yes. Gates. Pat Hayden.
Who was denied membership as well when he first asked. Bill Gates asked to be a member. He was right. denied membership until they chose to ask him.
Well, Bill, Pat Hayden, Lou Holtz, of course, former, Hugh McCloy, who used to be the former CEO of Bank America, okay, Sam Nunn, former United States Senator from Georgia, Sam Palmisano, former CEO of IBM, T-Bone Pickin, oil tycoon, Harold Red Polin, former CEO of Ford Motor Company, James D. Robinson III, former CEO of American Express, Carl Sanders, former governor of Georgia, Lynn Swan, former NFL player, and Jack Welch, former CEO of General Electric.
General Electric, yes.
Yeah, now, these are major corporations that they're no longer in charge of. At least six of these are no longer CEOs anymore. So that influence is not there anymore.
But just like the names that you named, that just goes to show that Augusta National, again, is about pedigree, prestige, and power. Those are the three things that Augusta National is about. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to do it on their time frame, whether UI, Martha Burke, or anybody else, the Olympic Committee, anybody likes it or not. That Augusta okay. National is going to do what they do, the way that they do it, in the manner and the time frame that they wish to do it. It is refreshing to have a chairman unlike, you know, Hugh Johnson, like Billy Payne, who's a little more progressive, who thinks outside the box, who's willing to change the culture at Augusta National the way that he's done. But again, I still think in my mind, Augusta National, as much as things have changed, I'm so happy to see what they've done, but things there still, in a lot of ways, remain to be the same.
So, prediction, 4 years from now, what's the makeup of the membership at Augusta National?
Maybe one or two more women, including the CEO of IBM, but predominantly all men.
You heard it here, folks. He's saying four or five women, maybe, and
yes.
the rest are all men. So we will revisit this issue. We're going to watch it very closely, and we're going to invite you back.
I would love to come back. Thank you so much.
I want you to come back, and so we can look at this issue again, because I believe from what I'm seeing now is that Augusta National is going to be talked about. It's no longer in the closet anymore.
Absolutely.
It is actually out of the closet, and it is free game to the social media influence. And we're going to watch that, folks. We'll be back next week with another powerful show. We're going to thank our special guest, Mr. Edward Wanawa. He is, of course, a new name in golf that is just really making great headway here. And he, of course, you may want to pick up the Afro-American Golfer's Digest, because you can actually see the things that he's doing as a senior editor. And again, if you have a special website that you'd like to share with our listeners out there, do so right now, Edward.
Yes, they can go visit www.thegolfwriter.com. And that's my website, thegolfwriter, golfwriter.com.
Excellent. Okay, again, thank you so much for being here. And I thank you for taking my questions. And again,
thank you so much,
have a great night. And we'll be back next week on Tuesday, folks. Thank you much.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know, talk to you.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.